So let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And the question I want to pose today again is, how do you build a family? And if you're going to build a family, how do you build a strong family? You know, there's a lot in this old world that we cannot count on anymore. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, we live in an ever-changing climate. And have you ever noticed that what they said that was good for us maybe 10 years ago, now they're saying it's bad for you? What changed? Nothing. But they just changed their opinion. You know, maybe they have new evidence. I don't know. But nothing stays the same other than the Word of God. Now, we all need a stable environment, you know, in our life to really keep our sanity. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be insane. You know what I mean? And sometimes the chaos, it gets that bad, doesn't it? You're pulled all these different directions. And the chaos gets so crazy. It's so hard to keep things together. And to me, the family unit is something I've always believed since we've been married is a place that we need, that we have to have security and we have to have safety. And that's what family is about. And it's up to us, you know, to be able to make sure we get that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the anointing that's here today to be able to break every yoke of bondage upon our lives. Lord, we know that sometimes our thoughts are not your thoughts. But Lord, help us to be able to be pliable. As the clay is to the potter, it allows the potter to mold it. Lord, mold us into the people that you want us to be. Lord, I yield to the gift that you've given me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, last week, a little bit of recap, we looked at Matthew chapter 7, and it talked about the two different kinds of houses. One house was built upon the sand, and one house was built upon the rock. And both those houses experienced the same storms of life. You and I all experience storms in life. Now, the difference in the two houses is that one was knocked down, and one was not. One was built on an ever-changing climate of the sand, but one was built on the stability of the rock, on how it's important for us to make sure that we build our house on the rock. Now, as we also know that the foundation is very important of a home, and it's below ground, most people never see all the foundation. Remember I talked about many people think the basement walls are the foundation, but they're not. It's the footing that's down below that really does the first part of work where it touches the earth. And it's wider than the walls, and it helps it because gravity does take effect in our lives, doesn't it? So it's important that that good foundation is there, and it's the same in the family. Each family has to choose for itself what its foundational material is going to be. Whether you're going to build your house upon the rock, your spiritual family house upon the rock, or if you're just going to go with the flow and let the shifting sand be your foundation. Now, those who are responsible must take responsibility. You should write that down. If not in the tablet of your mind, maybe you ought to get a piece of paper. Because we who are responsible need to take responsibility. Because we live in a climate where we try to defer to the quote-unquote professionals all the time. Where people are expecting other people to do certain things for them instead of us just be able to take the bull by the horns and be able to deal with it. Now, I also looked at the importance of being in a Bible-believing church. Now, what I mean by a Bible-believing church is a church that believes that the Bible has the final authority and final say in our lives. Now, not all churches do that. Some churches are a little more liberal in some areas where they kind of factor in some other things. And Colossians 2, chapter 8 challenges us not to do that, not to be sucked into the philosophy of man. Because man always puts his own opinion on a lot of things. And when man does that, we usually mess it up. So we need to make sure we stay away from man's philosophy. Now, the scripture that we're going to use as a springboard today is one that we use for talking about the Bema seat. Now, the Bema seat is a judgment seat. Now, we're not going to talk about judgment totally today, but we're going to look at it in the light of how we build a house. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 says, Paul was preaching here to the Corinthian church. He says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. What I want us to see here, at the same way that the Apostle Paul was given the grace to build the church, that I believe that God has given parents and leaders in the home the grace to build the families. And we all need God's grace working in our life. Now, to me, God's grace is not an excuse to sin, but God's grace is an empowerment from God to accomplish that which we have been called to do. Now, you and I as parents or as guardians or leaders in the family have been called to be able to lead a strong family. Because the family unit is a foundational thing in the Scriptures. Remember, God created Adam, then He created the Eve, which and that became the first family. And the first family was under attack from the enemy. Know this, Satan always wants to divide husbands and wives. If he can't divide the husbands and wives, he's going to divide the parents from the children because he's the author of division. So the family is always under attack, whether directly or indirectly from the devil. Now, he may use other institutions to try to attack us, but we know that the enemy is there and he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Now, if you think it's hard being a parent, know this, that God has given you grace. We just need to yield to it. The Apostle Paul probably had one of the hardest jobs there was as he went from place to place, walking, or however he needed to get there. Sometimes he would float, you know, because he'd get kicked off the boat. Amen? You know, he wasn't loved everywhere he went. But he went and he preached to build. You are all builders. We all are building something. Some people try to build their empires. But God wants us to build His kingdom. And part of that kingdom building comes when we do it in the home where we raise our families up in the things of God. So know this, you have all you need to accomplish that for which God has called you to do. Now, it is a given that a master builder, a wise master builder, or a skillful is another translation, he lays that foundation. And we know that foundation is Jesus Christ. You know, we looked at that last week, and we know that's also a given, that we only build our families upon the foundation of Jesus Christ on how we do things. You know, He is the reason that we do what we do and why we follow the things in the Bible, because He is the Word that is made flesh. And we build upon that. We build our kids upon it. We try to get that ingrained in them. And figuring out who Jesus is and what He has done in our life is the most important thing that you and I can ever do. Many times it just, boom, just flies over our head. You know, because we're born in the United States and, you know, it's just a given, you know, that we're hypothetically used to be a Christian nation, that we have some of these Christian values and that we just take it for granted. But we need to make it personal and we need to make it real. You know, our kids need to see that Jesus is real to us. And if we do that, He's going to become real to them. I believe that Jesus needs to be the central focus in our lives. And here are two easy thoughts. If you don't remember anything else about Jesus, remember this. Jesus died for me. And after you get that down, I live for Him. Number one, we do. Number two, we don't do. Sometimes, right? I'm challenged today because I know that America is under attack. And the fact of the matter is, the enemy wants to destroy our nation, and the way he's doing it is through the family in bringing division. And if we could unite our faith together and with God, we know that we can take back our families. to be able to glorify God and to be able to beat back the enemy out of our lives, because he's an intruder and he has no right in our lives. There's no room in our lives for other religions or other philosophies. All these things are a lie that Satan has contrived to try to speak into our lives, as Colossians 2 talked about. The idea of how the enemy comes in and all these other ideas and how they come into our lives to get us to doubt God's word. And we start to walk back from faith. And it's important that we push these things back. And just remember that God's grace is in our life. Now, building a house is easy, but building a home or a family is a little harder. It's easy to build a house. You just get a hammer, right? That's all you need. Now, you need a couple other things. You might need a shovel, too, if you're going to build the foundation. Or rent somebody with a backhoe. That's even a lot easier. Remember, a house is where you live, but a home is where you want to go. A lot of people just have a house, but we need a home. We want a home. A home is a place of safety, right? It's a place of security. And as leaders and those who are responsible, we need to take responsibility to be able to keep our home safe. Now, it's hard sometimes, especially if husbands and wives are on the same blueprint. You know what I mean? There's a blueprint is something you go by when you're going to build a home, and you need a blueprint, or just anything could happen. So that's difficult. And so maybe you and your spouse are not on the same blueprint, but nevertheless, you know, God's grace is still there to help you through this. Now, as I mentioned, a home is a good place. You know, have you ever noticed that there's multiple personalities living under the same roof? Maybe you guys all think alike, your family. We don't. You know, we have multiple personalities. And those personalities can be unique. And sometimes they can be downright challenging. You know what's even worse than multiple personalities living under one roof? Is when you have multiple personalities coming out of one person. Teenagers, right? That can be a challenge. These sweet and loving kids that you change their diapers and you give them baths and you cradled them and you protected them from everything, and all of a sudden they grow up and they don't want your opinion anymore. It's difficult. But still, nevertheless, you need to be able to learn how to deal with that. You know, work and school and sports and all the extracurricular activities, they put all our relationships to the test. You know, what's hard is when husbands and wives both work and maybe they work different shifts and they never get to see each other. All these things. They put our families to the test, and that's why we need something that unites us together. And that's God. That's Jesus Christ. That's something that we have in common. You know, you and I may not agree on everything, but there's one thing we can agree on in this place, and that's Jesus Christ and the importance of Him in our life and what He came to do. Now, talking about building is because somehow we need to be able to clear out the chaos that comes in our life. The next few verses, verses 12 to 15, it says, "Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire." As I mentioned, this passage is talking about what's going to happen at the Bema Seat. Now, the Bema Seat, I'm just going to explain this a little bit, is a place where all believers are going to stand someday. Now, you and I, if we're believers, have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we will not have to stand in front of the great white throne judgment, where that the sinners are going to be judged, because Jesus has already stood there for us. Remember? He's our substitute. So we don't have to stand before God and decide if we're going to heaven or not. That's already been decided. But, there's always a but, ain't they? You and I are going to be judged for what we did with what we have. So it's what we do with what we've got is very important. Now that's another sermon in itself, and we'll fall back to that someday here in the near future. So it talks about these people are going to build. And some build with, you know, pretty sturdy materials, and some are building with wood, hay, and straw. Now, it says that the work will become evident, you know, and it's not going to be about the quantity. It's talking about the quality. It says the quality of each man's work, you know, is going to be judged. So, I want to equate this somewhat to a floor plan. Now, some of you have maybe built a home before and maybe been involved in the process of picking out a floor plan. You know, maybe you have the blueprints and you've looked at it and you see some things you like and you see some things you don't like. So you start to maybe tweak on the plan a little bit and make some changes. Now, as I mentioned last week, we looked at the two foundations. This week, we're looking at the two ways you can build, because everybody's a builder, right? We're all called to build. We're all called to build something. And hopefully, we're building a family. Now, the scripture says that God's not going to build it for you. You have to build it. Now, God's going to give you the direction and the strength to build it, but you have to do the work. You have to do the effort. That's why we're judged by what we do with what we have. We're responsible to do the things that He's called us to do and to be able to step out and to make it happen. That means some choices have to be made. Now, some people don't like when you get choices, you know. You know, to me, it's easy if you make some choices in the beginning. You know, I tell the young people, the youth, you know, from time to time, before you go on a date, decide you're not going to go far, man. You know what I mean? Decide you're going to put a Bible between you and the car. You know, make a decision that you're not going to make out, or you're not going to do all these things and get too physically involved before you go on that date. Make those choices. And parents, talk together ahead of time and make some choices on how you're going to raise your kids and how you're going to discipline your children before you get tested. And then the kids find out you guys aren't on the same page. They'll exploit that. You know, they can tell when parents aren't on the same page. So make some choices, and that's what we need to do, because choices are very important. So as you're making a choices for the floor plan of the family that you want to build, you know, as being involved in building, you know, I can tell a lot about people by the floor plan that they've chosen for their house. You know, you can tell a lot. You know, if the closets are bigger than the bedrooms, that tells me they got a lot of junk. You know what I mean? They got too much stuff. Man, if your master bedroom closet's bigger than your bedroom, you know, I don't know. You may have to have a sale, you know. Or maybe, you know, if they put a bigger office in their house than they do a family room, that tells me that work is more important than relationships. You know what I mean? So you can tell a lot about the floor plan and on how we govern our lives. And I'm going to tie this together with another thing, because you and I, as we're building our homes, we all have a certain allotted amount of space. Now, the worst thing people can do, and this is a side thought, is to overbuild. I've watched people build something bigger than they can afford, and then they're in bondage. You know, they think, well, if I do this and do this, we can afford that payment. And then they get into that payment, and then they ain't got enough money to go out and buy any, you know, go out to a movie or go out and do some fun things. They've wasted all their discretionary income on their house payment, all because they thought they had to have this great structure. You know, it's not the house, it's the home. Focus on the home, and the house will take care of itself. Now, as we build these things, we all have allotted amount of space, and I want to call that space today time. As we build our house, we all just have the same amount of time. You and I each have 24 hours a day, right? We have 24 hours a day. Now, when people are building a house and they say, well, I want this bigger, you know, I want a bigger bedroom, a master bedroom, well, to do that, in that 1,500-square-foot house, they're going to have to cheat from another room, right? because you already got your you already have this much space. So when you make a choice to put more money into this one room than this other room, you're cheating from that other room. Think about cheating. Cheating. What are we cheating? I think we all cheat sometimes. I'm not talking about cheating on each other, but I'm talking about cheating from our families, the things that we take from our families. And the importance of being able to make sure that we protect all the space that needs to be there. So as we take from one room to give to the other, to me it comes back to priorities, and this is where I want to go today. I want to challenge our priorities on what's important. I know what it's like. I'm at the last half of my race. I've raised my kids. I've been through that. I know that sometimes I can look back and I can see, hey, my priorities were messed up. You know, I was putting too much effort and emphasis on this one area, and I neglected this other area, and now I'm paying the price. And it's like that. But not saying, you know, repent and go on. That's what I do. Hey, just give it to Jesus, make that correction and go on. But I want to do this as a way of warning today that maybe we need to, you know, make sure our priorities are good. Because we all have choices. When you're building, you can use gold, silver, or precious stones, or you can use wood, hay, and straw to form the structure of your life or your family on what we do with that. And it talks about the quality is going to be revealed by fire. And what I see from that, it like I said, it comes back to what we do with what we have. Now, I don't know if you've ever been a victim of this. I think I have. Have you ever been on a flight or you've had a flight booked and you found out the airline was overbooked? What happens? Do they squeeze you all in? Does the co-pilot give up his chair? No. What happens? Somebody gets the boot. Somebody's kicked off the flight. Maybe it's that poor soul that had a connecting flight that didn't get there in time to check in. And sorry, we gave your seat up. You know, so you get kicked to the curb. And what happens in our life is when our priorities get out of line, when things start to get so chaotic and messed up, it's usually church and God that gets kicked to the curb. And that's the worst thing we can kick to the curb. Because we need that connection for the stability to be able to keep the chaos out of our life. Because when we kick God and church to the curb, well then the enemy, I've watched this time and time again in people's lives, how he comes in and then all of a sudden the devil gets a foothold in our life. I keep forgetting, I don't mean to neglect this side of the church, but for some reason, maybe it's tilted that way, but I keep going that way. I'm going to go over here for a minute. But, you know, when we do that, we kind of find out that all of a sudden the enemy comes in and then he starts to really mess with our life. And it starts to confuse us. And it gets us thinking wrong. It gets us to maybe start to misunderstand information that's being sent. And then before you know it, you know, we've become an outcast to some degree. And this happens because sometimes life can be like a rubber band. Usually you can bounce back. But what happens when you stretch a rubber band too far? It snaps. And it's usually an owie for one hand or the other when you snap. And see, that's what happens in our lives when we try to do too much. When we try to squeeze so much of this world into our lives. And that's where it comes back to the idea of picking some priorities on what's important, on what really needs to be done, on how God needs to move in our life. I remember a story when we was over in the old building. The boys were young. And, you know, we had church on Wednesday night. And back then, they played Little League games on Wednesday night. And I told them that, you know, I'm a pastor. And, you know, we have church on Wednesday night. And it gets over at 7:30 or 8 o'clock. I don't remember what time it got over about then. Probably 8 o'clock. And I just said, you know, we won't be there till after that. They said, fine. So after church one day, we were heading to the game. We was hurrying to get there because we had a responsibility. We committed to the team. Driving up the hill out at Little League, and there was nobody on the field. Both teams were sitting in the dugout. And when my old truck pulled up around the hill, they started cheering. They held the game. They didn't have enough players without us. But they knew where our priorities were. They knew what was important to us. And that was important that we made a stand that day. Now, the big bad wolf, the devil, is trying to blow our house down, isn't he? He's trying to rip our families apart. Remember the three little pigs? You know, they were builders, weren't they? At least they thought they were. A couple of them were corner cutters. You know what I'm saying? They cut corners. This is easier. You know, I'm going to build mine with straw, and I'm going to build mine with sticks. Quicker. Well, the big bad wolf come up, and he blew them houses down, didn't he? But the one pig, he could see the big picture. He knew what was important. He took the time, and he built his house with stone. And the big bad wolf came, and he huffed, and he puffed, and he could not blow that house down. So when you build your house, choose what material you're going to build with. Are you going to use straw? Are you going to use sticks because it's easier? Or are you going to take the time and put in the effort and build your house out of stone? And when that enemy comes against you, because the enemy comes against everybody, everybody's going to be attacked. Don't think we're not ever going to be attacked. This old life is long. And there's attacks all the time. And your house will stand when others fall. So how do we apply it? Remember, it's quality takes time. It's not quality time. You know, my generation, it's quality time. You know, I do all this other stuff, and then I give my kids 5 minutes of undivided attention, and that's quality time. No. It's quality takes time. Keep Jesus as the central focus of our families. Pretty simplistic, but it's sometimes we forget. God will give you the grace to build that strong family. Remember, you're not alone. Maybe you and your spouse are not on the same page, but get on the same page with God. As you get on the same page with God, your blueprint's going to work out. Remember to make wise choices. Don't overbuild. Remember that priorities are important. Write them down on a piece of paper, not just keep them on the tablet of your mind. We do that. We think that because we have it in our mind, we'll always remember it or always do it. We won't. You have to write it down. Put it down. Keep it before you. Habakkuk wrote down the vision so that he would never forget. You need to write down the vision for your family. And lastly, get a good floor plan and stick to it. Don't be sidetracked. The world is going to change all the time. Ever since my first baby came along, till the fact when my last baby graduated high school, our culture has changed. But we've stayed the same. Because we stay with the Word. Because the Word never changes. Let's pray.